Hi everyone, this is Linda Rennie, the founder and the president of Sanctioned Love Ministries. The purpose of these podcasts is to bring the heartbeat of Jesus' ratifying love to you through the teachings, interviews, current topics, and much more. We plan to cover deep and sensitive topics to create a hunger to know the lover of our souls, who he is in us and who we are in him. So sit back and incline the ear of your heart to the pursuit of the pursuer himself.
So what we're going to be kind of starting off with is kind of where your heart should be in worship and how it can sometimes start out in performance, and but we should always be in a state of authenticity when we're coming to worship. So we're going to start in John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. So if you want to turn your Bibles, I know.
Turn your Bibles on.
We said in the last section, if you're in children's church, you just stand up when you get to that verse. Or you raise your hand. Yeah. All right. So it says, but a time is coming and is already here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit, from the heart, the inner self, and in truth. For the Father seeks such people to be his worshipers. God is spirit, the source of life, yet invisible to mankind. And those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. So God is looking for the true worshipers, people who are not there for their own selfish gain, but to give him all the glory and honor when he is due. Because he's worthy of that in all aspects of our life, not just if you're here for a worship conference or a conference in general. So when you came in today, you even asked yourself, what heart did I come with today? When I was coming to this worship conference, did I come with, I just want people to see me and kind of how I get to worship? Or were you coming to give your all in worship to Jesus, and even to learn how to be developed more in your heart of worship? And so that's what kind of leads us to why we're here. Obviously, both of us have come from a different background, styles and churches, pastors, all that kind of stuff. And we may not have started with an authentic heart when we came to worship. And for me, I started playing instruments when I was really little. My mom and dad was actually, I shared this in the last class, they were going to stop having kids at my sister Natalie, correct? And it was almost like, no. And then they had my brother, and then they had me. And if I get this correct, God had told Dad to buy instruments, and he said, if you buy the instruments, I will teach your kids how to play. And so from a very young age, sitting down in a little group, we'd all get our guitars, because my dad had about 15 of them, and we would sit down, and he taught us all Amazing Grace in the key of G. And that was the first thing any of us, well, from my recollection, my siblings all play other instruments or sing or do worship stuff. And so that was what I knew of worship back then. And then my dad decided, you know, I'm going to get a drum set because I want to learn, dad speaking. But he can't keep a beat to save his life. So he stuck with piano and guitar. And so me and my brother are actually self-taught on the drums. I've been playing for about 22 years now. I know, like, that old. So I started from a very young age, and I thought at that age, I started playing on a worship team at 11, and didn't really want to, because I thought I wasn't that good. I thought I was coming with a very humble heart, but it was actually false humility, where I thought, I'm not that good, so I shouldn't be on the stage. And my worship pastor said, I'll just schedule you once, and then if you don't like it, you don't have to play ever again. And then she kept scheduling me. So obviously I had a good time, but I never started, or I guess I could say, I didn't always have the authentic heart of worship. And as I started to grow older, it became more of, oh, people get to see me on stage. They think I'm really good. They compliment me. Compliments are nice. Who doesn't like to be complimented? Oh, thank you, Shelly. Thank you. So I would get asked to play at different conferences or just being on worship team almost every Sunday. And for me, it got to be the place of, wow, look at how great I am. Like, I know how to play all these instruments, and people ask me to play whatever because I know how to. And it became a me show. And when I stepped up on stage, it was always, okay, what can I play today to really impress people, to show them how cool I am? And it wasn't until probably 4 or 5 years ago, we started teaching other youth students how to play the drums. And after that, it was kind of like my time dwindled on the stage. And I saw that as God was like, okay, either you're here on the stage for yourself or you're here to glorify me. And it wasn't until a couple years ago I started back on the stage a little bit more. I thought it was like, oh, we just have more people, so whatever. But it was like, no, I want you to understand what it really means to worship not on the stage. Because if you can't worship authentically off the stage.
Yeah, come on, sister.
And lead somebody into the presence.
There you go.
Then you have the wrong heart. And so being authentic, what does it mean? The quality of being real or true, which I was not. I was the performance side, which was the action or process of carrying out or accomplishing an action, task, or function. So for me, Sundays was just, okay, I got to get up super early in the morning, we'll practice, we'll do the worship set, and I'll check it off. It's checked off. My worship box is checked, and now I can just check out, and I don't have to do anything else. I can go home, now I can take my nap. That was Sundays. If you know me, I love my naps. But now it is, okay, I can worship during practice.
Come on.
And are you setting yourself up to be authentic before you're even on a Sunday? Are you worshiping throughout the week? And worship isn't even about the songs. Right. Your life should be worship.
Yeah,
living sacrifice. And if you can't do that off a stage, in front of a crowd, whatever, then that's where you have to check your heart and wonder, am I here to be a performance in front of people to have them see me? Or do I care if there's even anybody around?
Yes.
If nobody showed up to this conference today,
yes,
I'd still be like, let's play our sets again. I know we practiced forever last night, but let's just play them again because we're not here to have people see us on the stage.
Yeah.
And so,
It's an interesting road that God does take you on in order to get you where he made you to be.
Yeah.
And I think that I'll talk about backgrounds being very, very different. Like, I was rigid. She was like, kind of crazy. I was 3 years old, and my mom heard me sing a whole song, like by myself, just the whole song. And you know, a lot of times you get the chorus, whatever, and the kid just sings a ditty. And he's like, wow, that was cute. But I sang the whole song. He was like, you need to do something in music. They put me in piano. So I played piano at like 3 to 4 years old, but I was so shy. I was behind my mom's like leg, wherever. I didn't want to meet people. I didn't want to talk to people. And so she put me in piano, and I would have recitals, what do you call it? Recitals? And it got so much attention. My aunts were like, Jenny, you play so nice. You play. And I was like, no. And then they said, we'll pay you. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then after that, I was like, no, it's too much attention. I just can't handle it. It's making me like anxious. And I was just crumbling under the pressure. I said, that's it. No more piano. I'm not doing anything. And then I tried my hand later on in like junior high, started playing wind instruments, brass instruments in a band where I can hide, right? And not everybody's just looking at me anymore. And all through high school and into college. And I thought that I wanted to be a studio musician. I started getting really good. And I was wondering why, because I didn't practice. And my teachers were like, dude, you're so lazy. You got to start practicing because you can get so good. And in my mind, I was like, I don't even care. As long as I'm just doing what I need to do. So God took two turns in my education. Because number one, I needed to be in front of people. And he made me with a musical kind of a character to where it was part of my character to be used by him and for him. So I didn't know that process, but I'm going through high school and I'm going through college and I'm like, I need to be in the performing arts because I'm here ready. You know, I've gone through all this school, I've gone through all this training. And I started like playing in bands and different things. And then I started like a theory class because I had to do that for my music degree, right? And my musicianship teacher says, what do you play? I was like, I play trombone. He's like, not for long. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, you need to be singing. I was all, and that would make me have to audition, and people look at me, and all that stuff. No. And so I kind of like just succumbed to the pressure and took one class that I could sing in a big old choir of 100. There's no way they're gonna see me there. So I had an instance in there where they started going down and like testing all the people in front of, oh, sing this part. And then everybody was going, I was like, no, they're coming to me. That guy sings pretty good. I'm gonna die. So it was really weird. It was a weird situation for me, but I went ahead and just sang out what I needed to sing out. And the guy goes, okay, sing for me. And it was me. He goes, see me after class. Sing for me. And I was like, what the heck is going on? That day changed my life. Because
come on, baby.
God gave me a gift that I didn't want to use. And I wasn't going to use it for him. So he softened my heart in that moment. And he said, you're going to sing for me. And they're going to teach you how.
Amen.
So I went through the performing arts not knowing or thinking that I was going to be a studio musician or on a stage somewhere in musical theater. Did several things, but he used those shows and tours and performances to break off all the heck. Set it to the side, dude, you're going up. You're going to serve me. And people, you're going to hear you sing.
Glory to God.
But they're going to hear me through you. And so when I was voluntold to take the position, I still didn't want to. I didn't even know how to play guitar. And here we go. It wasn't performative because I didn't want to do it. And it wasn't performative because I didn't know how to do it. So I learned just in the spot, because God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called.
Matt, come on, sweetheart.
And that got me worse than last one. Well, you know what? I said this in the last one too. In the morning, we hit the ground running with worship, and I started to break down, and I was like, stop! You got a responsibility to do!
No, I like
you're
it!
You're not gonna be, see, this is the flesh kind of telling you, hey, you're not doing what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to be seeing that microphone is not being touched right now.
Come on.
Breaking down is your responsibility, because it broke off all the shells.
Yeah.
It broke off all the mold that I thought I was in. And it's allowing me to actually connect and worship in spirit and in truth.
Yeah.
As we are commanded to, right? So there's so many opportunities that people have to do things in worship and service. We want to do things with a spirit of excellence. But at the same time, the spirit, like the connection that your authenticity, your authentic connection
yes.
with the Father speaks louder than the notes that you can sing.
Yes.
Hard lesson. That was a hard lesson for me to learn because the responsibility was given to me. And it wasn't until I had my first breakdown, I felt abandoned. I didn't have a backup plan. I was just, I can't do this. I don't know what's going to happen. What are they going to say afterwards? Wow, that was horrible. That was so bad. You didn't even finish the song. And I was like, I know. Sort of beating myself up about it, right? And in my head, I already had those conversations with those people that I'd never actually ended up having. And so you get fooled. You start believing lies. And the best part coming out of that is that I lead worship at our in our ministry, and my my daughters serve alongside with me. And one time, I had my oldest daughter, Charisma. She was singing with me, and I started to go. And I was like, "When it don't return, dude." And then I looked at her, and I was like, "She took over for me."
Yeah.
And we finished the song. I have a complex. I have a little bit of a conflict. I can't even listen to a song and cut it off in the middle. Like, I have to. And if I do, it has to end a phrase. Like, the chorus isn't over yet, don't turn it off! You know, that kind of thing. But the statement that I said earlier in the session was, I did not want to be a real life example of what authenticity is. I didn't plan on that, trust me. That was not part of my study or my preparation. But at the same time, there is a connection that needs to take place in however you worship, mm-hmm. in however you're worshiping, be service, be, you know, teaching with the kids or whatever, or if singing, the expressions change, you know? So the connection that you have with the Father equals the expression that you're able to give, and then you have to let it go. You know, some people have different levels of letting it go. Some people, your letting go is right here. When I first started, footprints. You can see footprints in the stage where I started, and they're there because that's where I stayed. And so that sounds like a little too rigid. It sounds like, okay, you're not even worshiping at that point. But in that moment, and I see people even do it today, because, you know, we're standing on the stage, we see all of you. You're all.
Come on, say
whatever.
It.
Whatever. You know, and then you got all the other people. I didn't really, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, do it.
You get other people who
somebody
want,
asked
like,
if you could dance.
If someone says, hey, you know, how do you worship? As long as your worship is authentic,
yes,
then go do it.
Yeah.
You know, some people are right here. And I use the example of Marvel Studios, Thor Ragnarok, and see the Bifrost just, Holy Spirit, just wah, like that. Or you got the other people that are just like, oh, I'm so spiritual. There's a good part about that, because if your expression is genuine,
yes.
then go ahead and express it. Then the folks in the room are not going to be distracted or trying to pray against you.
Yeah.
Because we know.
Pray against you.
We start praying against you guys.
Religious spirit.
Something going on over here. But the authenticity, when it's there, mm-hmm. don't hold it back. Mm-hmm. Don't hold it back. Because then you're robbing him of his blessings.
Come on. Yeah. So good.
I use when we started talking about this topic and we were going to share this breakout, she went to John, I went to Luke. If you have your Bible and you want to turn with us to Luke 20, 45 to 47. Luke 20, and 21, it has a lot to do with authenticity and being genuine. In verse 45, I'll go ahead and read it. I was going to ask somebody to read it, but I'll read it. It's, I think this is NLT. Then, with the crowds listening, he turned to his disciples and said, "Beware of the teachers of the religious law, for they like to parade around in flowing robes and love to receive respectful greetings as they walk in the marketplaces, and how they love the seats of honor in the synagogues and the head table at banquets. Yet they shamelessly cheat widows out of their property and pretend to be pious by making long prayers in public. Because of this, they will be severely punished." So the folks that are all out there doing wild and crazy worship, you could, this video we were talking about with Seth last night, is as you can, I see people, praying out loud, praying in the spirit, speaking in tongues, but you're gossiping in English.
Yeah, say it, brother.
Come on. That goes into the same thing in religiosities that you get involved with. All the formals and the dressings and the performative religiousness.
Come on.
It's not connected. It's all for naught. It's not with love. So the other side of that is the widow in Luke 21. Even as the widow has given her last coins, I tell you the truth, Jesus said, "This poor widow has given more than all the rest of them, because they have given a tiny part of their surplus. But she, as poor as she is, has given everything she has."
Amen.
Full surrender.
Glory to God.
Full surrender. No matter what you have, little as it may be, as far as in ministry application, is I'm not that gifted, I'm not that talented, I don't have a wonderful singing voice, I can't play any instruments, but my favorite worship team member is the person that puts the lyrics on the board. They don't play an instrument. That is a heart. Oh. You have my heart if you do that. Because that helps edify the church, because then it releases a distraction. So we're not worried about lyrics and worried about different things, and we don't get caught up and we can worship.
So good.
In the last session, I had watched a teaching. I don't know how many of you know Christine Kane, amazing speaker. But she was down at Bethel a couple years ago speaking to their worship school that they do every year. And she did a session called Gifting versus Anointing. And just something really powerful on the whole performance side of it was she was talking about how people nowadays are looking to get on a stage so they can be discovered. But she's like, if God has already discovered you, why do you need to be discovered? If man discovers you, man will destroy you. But God has already discovered you, so let him develop you.
Glory.
So, if you're not willing to be developed, if you're not willing to go through the pressing or the crushing,
amen,
to have true worship come out of your life, that I say this because I'm on stage. What are you doing on stage? If your life is not reflecting what true worship is, then you're not leading anybody else into true worship.
Yeah.
You're leading them into also performing for everybody else who's down there in the audience, congregation, whatever it is, with them. And so let us take today to ask Jesus, what do I need to be developed in? What are you teaching me? What do I need to lay down? What do I need to surrender to have that true heart of worship? It might be good things. It might be bad things. Like Megan was saying, like you can let anything take over and it can turn into something bad if you let it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We have a lot of different roadblocks that oftentimes we put in our own way. So many different and new people that I haven't met personally. And I'm glad Brother Mark is here in this breakout, because I had the pleasure of meeting him in the lobby earlier, and background-wise, as far as like the journey beginning and not so much on the middle, because I never went to the military, but the ending of learning music and learning instruments and then coming back to later on, and that journey where your priorities change, your heart changed, and God's using those things that he taught you before to serve him and glorify him now. And it's an amazing, amazing thing, because, you know, I related to you, and I was like, I wanted to tell you, come to my breakup. I'm glad you're here. Yeah, because God uses, he uses, you know, even what the enemy meant for you.
Yeah, come on.
But he, like I said, he let him develop you. He already knows you, knew you from before you even in your mother's womb. You know, so the concept that we really have to grasp, or that we should shoot to grasp, is our worship is between us and God. Number one. Number two, it's not just song. It's not just music. It's action. It's action of sort.
Yeah, yeah.
And so whatever you're doing that unto him, and he'll see your heart. And that's, the more we do that, the more it's learned. The more we do that, the more our heart posture can be, when we can utilize the all the wonderful musical resources we have out there, because there's so many talented writers, and you know, you identify with a song and you kind of connect to it, and then you wanna share it, and so the connection that you have to him through that can allow you to deliver that as well. And so singing songs, it's not just singing songs anymore. I can sing a song 50,000 times. I was gonna say millions. So much, but 50,000? Conceivable. And then one time, like on stage, that's it. Wow, it just hit me different. You can read a scripture so many times and you get something different each time. You know? So that goes the same thing for music. And if you're fortunate enough to have talented music writers like on your teams, been fortunate to experience what can come from prayer, what can come from community, and then
we did that.
that you can be blessed by what God does through you. Mm-hmm. You know, because when God is he ordains you and he moves through you, you can bless others with what he's gifted you, but you can be blessed by those gifts also. Yeah. You know, and especially if you're in that right heart posture.
Yeah,
it's not always coming from an area of conceit.
Amen.
Or pride.
Yeah.
Because that can seep in too. And then, like I said earlier, most people, especially if they're connected to Holy Spirit, they can know whether you're authentic or you're
yes.
So, but genuine leadership is, in my mind, leading from the Father's heart. Mm-hmm. And to leading from the, I scrolled way more. Leading from the Father's heart and to lift people up. It builds respect and produces fruit that will be a response to that leadership, and it results in the goal and responsibility that they're made for to be achieved. It's a journey. It's a big journey. And so we have, a lot of us are still on that journey. I mean, until we get to heaven, we're on that journey. But you're at different areas of that journey. And that's where, you know, we bind together in the spirit, and we encourage each other. Because, like I said, in the different styles of worship and who's gonna break the ice? Who's gonna lift their hand first?
Yeah.
who's gonna shout out first? You know, that kind of thing sometimes needs to happen. You feel, are they gonna make fun of me? You know, man, once you're connected, that Bifrost is going.
That's right.
There's nobody else in the room.
That's right.
There's Amen. Nobody else in the room.
Yes.
You're just you Come and on. Him.
Yes.
And giving him what he deserves. Mm. And that's all the glory, all the honor, yes. and praise. Every single breath, every single word that comes out of our mouths is his.
Thank you for listening to the Sanctioned Love podcast. Our desire is to bring the ratifying love, the binding force of love, to individuals with the purpose of increasing intimacy, freedom, and identity in Christ. Please check us out on our website, sanctionedlove.com, and all of our social media platforms. We would love you to consider partnering with us in taking the ratifying love around the globe. Thank you for listening, and see you next time.